readings from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gary. I'm the rector of St. Paul's, Carlingford and Norfolk. Some of you asked me yesterday, where do you serve? So that's who I am. That's where I serve. Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks again for allowing us to meet like this as your people. We pray, Father, you give us humble hearts and a greater appreciation of the greatness of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I think that Sydney really is one of the great cities of the world. Not just in terms of the fabulous climate or the beautiful harbour. It's just wonderful coming in on the bus, looking to the left and seeing the harbour each day as you come into Synod. But also in terms of the diversity that Sydney offers as well. I live in Carlingford, which is a very nice suburb, a very nice place to raise your family, your 2.5 children and dog. But if I'm going to be honest, Carlingford is less than cosmopolitan. In the dictionary next to suburbia is a picture of Carlingford. Yet in the food court at Carlingford Court, you'll find top quality Chinese roast duck at a shop called Wok and Roll. Just down the road at Mobbs Lane, you'll find a really good Thai restaurant called It's Thai. Eastwood next door has just opened a Taiwanese night market. El Janna's down James Roos Drive has fabulous Lebanese barbecue chicken. And the three basic food groups are represented as well: McDonald's, Pizza Hut, and KFC. I've done all three in one day. And that's just Sydney, isn't it? Part of a well-balanced diet, medical background. And that's just Sydney. That is just Sydney. Wherever you go, wherever you live, even in the Shire, you'll find food representing people from... I heard they have a Thai restaurant these days. You'll find food representing people from all over the world, people from all nations who have made Sydney their home. And this provides us as God's people here in Sydney both a challenge and opportunity. Because embracing that diversity and reflecting that in our churches has an impact that goes beyond having lots of interesting dishes at our annual potluck. And if you come with me to Ephesians chapter 3, you'll see why that's the case, where Paul says that our unity in diversity displays God's wisdom to the world. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul starts off by saying that he's in prison for the Gentiles. He's in prison for telling the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he stops and says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Surely you've heard the story about why I am here. Well, if you haven't, let me tell you, says Paul. And he goes on to say two things in the following verses. Firstly, he says, I'm a missionary to the Gentiles as a result of God's grace. In verse 2, he talks about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. In verse 7, he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace. In verse 8, he says, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Paul says that just as all of us have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus, that the message about Jesus has gone out to the Gentiles through grace as well. That's the first thing he says. And the second thing Paul says is that the salvation this grace leads to, the salvation of the Gentiles, isn't something new but has always been God's plan. It's no surprise that God has done this, says Paul. You can see this in many places throughout the Old Testament. So, for example, you go back to Genesis chapter 12. God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. All the people on the earth, including the Gentiles. It's even clearer in a passage like Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, where the Lord says to his servant, a role fulfilled by the Lord Jesus, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. God had always planned to save the Gentiles through Jesus, his son. That was no surprise. But what was a surprise is the way God would do this. And this is the mystery that Paul is speaking about here. This is the thing that had for ages past been kept hidden in God, verse 9. But has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets, verse 5. That not only was God going to send Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, to bring salvation to the Gentiles, but verse 6, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. The mystery that's been revealed is that the Gentiles aren't going to be saved in addition to God's people. But the Gentiles are going to be saved as God's people. It's what we saw yesterday in Ephesians chapter 2. That Jesus has created one new humanity through his death on the cross. That Jew and Gentile are now one in him. None of that is new. But what is new is what Paul goes on to say about what this says about God. And you'll see that if you come with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Because in verse 10, Paul says that the inclusion of the Gentiles in the people of God, and the way this is expressed through the diversity of those who gather in God's church, displays the manifold wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, to those in the heavenly realms who stand in opposition to God. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that when Jews and Gentiles gather together for Jesus, the wall of hostility no longer in the way, keeping them apart, when people who would normally have nothing to do with each other gather together because of Jesus, it says to the rulers and authorities in opposition to God, look at what God's done. You've lost. Give up. It says it in look, God is wise, isn't he? He can do what he says. He knows what's best and can make it happen. Look at what he's achieved. He's made the impossible possible. All you need to do To know that you've lost is to look at his church. And when you actually look at God's church, look beyond its flaws, look beyond its apparent weakness, look beyond the fact that you know that it could be much, much better, you'll see that God's church is actually a miracle. It's extraordinary. It's impossible. It shouldn't really work. And at the heart of this display of God's wisdom, God's greatness, God's strength, God's power, at the heart of this display of the victory of God over those who would oppose him, is his church in all its unity and diversity. This church that exists because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a bit like what you'll find in our Chinese congregation that meets at 11. And that may not be obvious, and can I say this? Because they all look the same. I can say that. But let me tell you, that church is a miracle. It is a miracle. It speaks of the power of the gospel because it's brought people together who would never spend time with each other. It's a bilingual service. It's in Mandarin and Cantonese. And it's been built on the foundation of mature Cantonese Christians seeking to reach the Mandarin-speaking Chinese people coming into our area. And it's made up of people from Hong Kong and China, Taiwan, Malaysia, Singapore, gathered in a way that transcends culture, that transcends their dialect groups, that transcends their countries of origin, gathered together because of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of others. And I'm sure that this is true of many of our congregations, Chinese or otherwise. I'm sure that many of our churches tell a similar story of people of all nations and backgrounds gathering together, displaying the power of the gospel to all those around them through the unity that they share and their display of diversity. And given what we've seen in Ephesians chapter 3, given how the diversity of a church displays the wisdom of God, then don't we want to see this happening more and more everywhere in all of our churches? Because it says something very important about who we are and what we believe, and about the power of the gospel to transform human relationships, and the power of God to make enemies family, and to bring people together and make them one. But it also says something when this doesn't happen in our churches, when we bear no resemblance to the community around us. It says that the gospel of Jesus is for certain types of people. People of a certain background or ethnicity, or who've just grown up in the church. And that's what a lot of people think when they come to Australia. They come thinking that Christianity is a Western religion. And the question is, do we challenge their opinion when they walk through our doors? When they see the type of people who are gathered in our churches. And here is the challenge and the opportunity we have when it comes to being God's people in a city like Sydney, with people from all nations who are already here and those God is bringing to us each and every day. Are we, as God's people, willing to open our hearts and our doors to people who are different to us but need to know Jesus? Crossing cultures, learning to listen, sharing our lives, sharing the gospel. Because God's given us an amazing opportunity right here in Sydney that has nothing to do with the weather or harbour or the amazing food that we have. We've been given the opportunity to display God's wisdom and power to the world, the rulers and authorities, through those Jesus has gathered from all nations who meet in our churches. People from all nations who now gather for Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the privileges we have meeting as your people here in Sydney. We thank you for the great heritage of Bible teaching. We thank you for peace and stability. We thank you for the freedom we have and our access to the Bible. But we also thank you, Father, for the way you've brought people from all nations to this great city of ours. And we pray, Father, that as your people, we will be doing what it takes to bring the good news of Jesus to all those around us, irrespective of their background, to display your greatness to the world and those who oppose you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.